Good evening, everyone. You're listening to UR Radio, and our show tonight is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. I'm Louisa Dyer, and I hope you join us every Thursday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern as we explore the teachings of various enlightened ones who are living among us. If you want to know a little bit about who I am or my perspective, you're welcome to visit my website at louisadyer.com. And in the second half of the show, you can submit questions or comments through the Facebook page called Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio. And I'll do my best to respond during the show. Hopefully I can manage the technology. And if not, well, I apologize in advance and I will learn how to do that at some point. My intention with this show is to have a lot of fun and to share all the many tools that are so easily available for anyone who actually chooses to thrive instead of just survive. If you're on a path of personal growth, or you're interested in spiritual evolution, or you just want your life to be filled with more joy and peace, more happiness, you can have that. And what we discuss tonight will hopefully inspire you to begin living that life even more than you already have. Over the next few months, we're going to be exploring some of my favorite teachers, Dr. David Hawkins, Byron Katie, Eckhart Tolle, and Michelle Wright of Paralandra. All of them have websites, and you can find out a lot about them and what their contributions are to humanity, and believe me, they are many. The first three of those that I mentioned, Hawkins, Katie, and Tolle, they're clearly enlightened beings. And they have remained on the planet instead of going on to wherever enlightened beings go. They've stayed here to help us all evolve. And Michelle Wright of Paralandra has developed methods of communicating directly with nature, which is an incredible experience, and it's very empowering in many ways, not least of which are all the ways that she gives that we can greatly improve our overall health on every level of being and vitality. Her work combined with the WOW processing, which is an energy psychology practice that I actually helped create, has kept me amazingly healthy for the last decade, in spite of my numerous bad habits. And so tonight we're actually going to be discussing a major teaching of literally one of the people who has really changed my life, and that's Dr. David R. Hawkins. And the truth we're going to be, the lesson, the teaching that we're going to be exploring is that all truth is knowable. Think about that for a moment. All truth is knowable. It's a pretty wild concept. But anyway, Dr. David Hawkins is an enlightened being. He's a scientist. He has a list of accomplishments and honors that would take more time than we have just to read it, much less discuss it. He has gotten a lot of praise from many world leaders and also from Mother Teresa. Suffice it to say that he is the founding director of the Institute for Spiritual Research, and he's also the founder of the Path of Devotional Non-Duality, which is a very specific spiritual path. He's lectured widely all over the world. He's conferred with many governments and has been instrumental in resolving long-standing conflicts that were major threats to world peace. He's in his 80s now, and he keeps a demanding schedule, and people come from all over the world just to be in his presence. And I was very blessed a few years ago. I got to actually meet David Hawkins and interview him briefly. And it was actually one of the most amazing experiences I ever had, because when you meet him, you see all the way through him. It's like there is no ego there at all. Plenty of personality. He's a very funny little guy. He's like a little gnome, actually, and he's very funny. But there's no ego. And you also have the experience that when he looks at you, he just sees right through to your essence, to your being. And there's something very profound about that. But instead of continuing to talk about him, I'd like to discuss one of Sir David Hawkins. Yes, he has been knighted. One of his major contributions to humanity. And that is a book actually called Power Versus Force. And that's the first book in a series of books. And the Power vs. Force is a bestseller. It's sold millions and millions and millions of copies. It's been translated into 25 languages, I think. And it's done all that with no advertising whatsoever. And basically what the book does is it analyzes the basic nature of human thought and of consciousness itself. And it shows how to instantly determine the truth or the falsehood of any statement or supposed fact. Isn't that amazing? I want to read a little bit from the foreword in Power Versus Force, just to give you an idea of what it is I'm really talking about. Imagine, what if you had access to a simple yes or no answer to any question you wish to ask? A demonstrably true answer to any question. Think about it. There's the obvious. Jane is seeing another guy. Yes or no? Johnny is telling the truth about school. Yes or no? But it's only a short step to, this is a safe investment. Yes or no? Or, this career is worthy of my pursuit. Yes or no? What if everyone had such access? Staggering implications suggest themselves immediately. Think again. What would happen to our ponderous and all too often flawed judicial system if there was a clear, comfortable answer to the proposition, John Doe is guilty as charged? Yes or no? What would happen to politics as we know it if all of us could ask the question, candidate X honestly intends to fulfill this campaign promise? Yes or no? And all of us got the same answers. You get the idea. But the idea gets bigger fast. If, as has been said, man learned to lie an hour after he learned to talk, then a phenomenon such as the one we're discussing would be the genesis of the most fundamental change in human knowledge since the beginning of society. The transformations would just be amazing. In fields from communications to ethics, in our most basic concepts, in every detail of daily existence, would be so profound that it's difficult to even conceive what life would be like in this subsequent new era of truth. The world as we know it would be irrevocably changed, right down to its very roots. Think about that. The ability to know any truth that you choose to know. That's the basic premise of much of Dr. Hawkins' work, and especially the book Power Versus Force, is that that is actually true. We can know the truth about anything. And the way that we can do that is through something called kinesiology. Kinesiology is muscle testing, basically. And anybody who's been to chiropractors has probably been exposed to kinesiology many times, because chiropractors have been using it since the 70s anyway. I'm going to read a little definition here of kinesiology, just so that you can see how simple it is. The study of muscles and their movements, especially as applied to physical conditioning. What does that mean, really? Well, basically, I'm not going to try to teach you how to do kinesiology, because that's really not something that I can do over the radio. Although I can tell you how simple and easy it really is. Basically, you hold out one arm, and someone else says something and tells you to resist, and using two fingers, they just very lightly press down your arm. If what they said is the truth, your muscle stays strong, and so your arm stays up. If what they said was false and or negative, then the muscle goes weak and the arm drops. It's very simple. It's been scientifically, rigorously tested over the last 30 years. And if you want to know how to do kinesiology, there's a lot of ways that you can learn to do that for yourself. One of the ways is in the book Power Versus Force. Another way is through Michelle Wright's work at Paralandra. There's many, many, many places that you can learn to do kinesiology. If you actually Google behavioral kinesiology, you're going to come up with thousands of references to that, and some of them are actually schools where that is what they teach. Some people think it's easier to do kinesiology with a partner while others prefer working individually. There are definitely things to know if you want to get accurate answers to whatever questions you might want to pose. And before we discuss that, we're going to talk just a minute about the history of kinesiology and all the scientific attention and experimentation and everything that's been done with it over the last 30 years. But before we actually get into that, I just want to say again that the focus of the show tonight is exploring the reality that all truth is knowable. And I want everybody to just think about that. Isn't that amazing to actually know that? This book, Power versus Force, came out in 95. That was 15 years ago. And the fact that we're not all using this on a regular basis still surprises me every day. I use it constantly. There's almost nothing I do in my life that I don't check the truth of or the benefit of before I do it. And believe me, I suffer greatly when I forget to do that or I don't do that well. So I'm going to give everybody a moment to just really think about that whole concept of all truth is knowable. And we're going to take a little musical break just to activate the right side of our brains for a moment, which is a very important activity. And what we're going to hear is actually a little Rye Cooter, and it's going to help bring your body and soul into a better flow with each other. Enjoy. Listening to UR Radio. This is Louisa Dyer, and we're here until 9 Eastern with Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. For those just joining us, we're discussing the teachings of Dr. David Hawkins, who wrote the Power versus Force trilogy. And we've talked a little bit about the basic premise of that book is that all truth is knowable. And that's what we're really actually exploring here tonight. And the way that all truth is knowable is through something called kinesiology, which is muscle testing. And it's been around for a really long time, and it started getting scientific attention, actually, by a man named Dr. George Goodhart, who really developed something called applied kinesiology. And he discovered that it was quite startling, actually, when he discovered this, and I believe in the 70s, that a beneficial stimulus actually increased the strength of indicator muscles, and hostile stimuli caused those same muscles to weaken. And it was really fascinating because all of a sudden we had discovered something. It was like the body somehow knew what was good or bad for it. We didn't know that before. The classic example of that is that in the presence of chemical sweeteners, for example, everyone's muscles go weak. Whereas in the presence of organic sugar, for example, or honey, those same muscles go strong. And so that classic example has been tested literally with hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world, and it always holds true. And in the late 70s, Dr. John Diamond took the whole study of kinesiology a step further in what he called behavioral kinesiology. And he made a very startling discovery that it doesn't even have to be something that's physically good or not good for the body, but even positive or negative emotional or intellectual stimuli actually has the same effect on the indicator muscles. And one of the standard tests that has been used, again, hundreds of thousand times, is that a smile makes everyone's indicator muscles go strong. And to say, I hate you, makes everyone test weak. And this was very startling. And so there was a whole movement that began around this called behavioral kinesiology, where people started using this to understand what was beneficial or not around more than just physical stuff. Well, David Hawkins, who is an enlightened being, and he's a scientist, and he's a psychiatrist, and he has just this list of accomplishments, he took this a step further. And what he discovered is that there is a database of consciousness that can actually tell the difference between truth and falsehood on any subject, between beneficial and not beneficial, on emotional, mental, spiritual topics, as well as physical ones. And that was very amazing, because what Hawkins discovered is that it's not actually the body that is telling the difference. The body is just the tool that's used to tell the difference. There's actually a field of consciousness that is responding to truth by staying strong, or to not truth by going weak. And a trademark of Hawkins' research is this incredibly internationally known, totally undone before, amazing thing called a map of consciousness. And it's used literally all over the world by millions of people. And it incorporates findings from quantum physics and from nonlinear dynamics. And it confirms that the classical stages of spiritual evolution that we talk about, all the world's sacred literature talks about in terms of saints, in terms of ascending, it doesn't matter what spiritual tradition you have worked within, they all talk about these various levels of consciousness and what happens there. Hawkins has actually scientifically documented that and calls it a map of consciousness. And he's actually found that those stages of spiritual evolution that are found in all the world's sacred literature, they're actually attractor fields. And he really explores what this means, and it gives a whole new meaning to the understanding and the idea that we create our own reality. We create what we experience. We actually are responsible for what we experience because we have created it. And in this book, Power Versus Force, that gets explained in a very new, very different, very encouraging and supportive and unconditionally loving kind of way. This map of consciousness that Hawkins created, basically it goes from 1 to 1,000, and it's, what do you call that? It's not mathematical, it's not arithmetic, there's the word I want. It's logarithmic. And so every scale, every jump that you make on the consciousness is actually times 10. So somewhere down around 20 on the scale of consciousness, you have shame, you have despair, and at 1,000 on that level of consciousness, you have the highest level of consciousness that a human body, a human being, has ever been able to actually embody. So at 1,000 would be Krishna, Buddha, Jesus Christ, the really great avatars and teachers of our human experience. And what the map of consciousness shows is how each progressive rise in the level of consciousness, that the frequency or the vibration of energy that you have available to you actually increases. And what I love about this is Hawkins really takes the whole idea of conscious evolution, takes it out of the field of woo-woo or, you know, metaphysics, and brings it into a very scientific understanding, a very rational understanding that says when you're really low on the level of consciousness, you simply don't have much energy. When you're, as you get higher and higher on that level of consciousness, you have much more energy. And the level of 200 is the critical sort of breaking point in that level of consciousness. Because below the level of 200 are all of what we think of as negative emotions. And at 200, we become able to tell the difference between truth and falsehood. We become able to access courage, which is right at the level of 200. And so as we raise our own consciousness and we raise up above that level, we actually find it much easier to know truth from falsehood. Below the level of 200, we simply do not have the capacity to know truth from falsehood. And until 1986, the whole of human society, all humans together, averaged below the level of 200. We had sat at 197 on that scale for many, many centuries. And suddenly in 1986, we jumped up to 207. And for the first time, we became capable as humans to know the difference between truth and falsehood. And so as we raise ourselves, as we allow ourselves to be raised in consciousness, the higher consciousness levels actually radiate this beneficial healing effect, not only for us as individuals, but on the world as a whole. And this is verifiable in the human muscle response, which stays strong in the presence of love and truth. And in contrast, it gets weak in the presence of whatever is below 200. And so not only do we now have the way to tell the difference between truth and falsehood, we actually have a way to tell where something registers on a scale of consciousness. So, for example, if you only wanted to read books or listen to music or be around people who vibrated at a certain level of consciousness because that's where you want to vibrate, you can actually test where your books or your music, where they are on the scale of consciousness, and you can tell directly if they're actually raising your consciousness or lowering it. It's pretty, pretty fascinating stuff. When you're looking at negative energy fields, and I'm going to say such as despair, fear, guilt, shame, anger, hate, pride. Pride's at 175, pretty high in terms of the low levels, but still not at the level of truth. Whenever you're interacting with those energy levels, you're going to get a weak muscle response, meaning the muscle is not going to stay strong. It's going to become weak. And this was a stunning discovery. It's like what it's really talking about is the difference between power, which is everything at 200 and above on that map of consciousness, and force, which is everything below that level of 200 on the map. And we get to see when we look at humanity, and Hawkins does a beautiful job of this, of looking through humanity's history at all the different ways and times that human culture as a whole societies, have been influenced by different really low vibrating energies. And as we really look at the difference in power and force and what it means, we can see how we can influence any field of human endeavor that we want to simply by raising our level of consciousness above the level of 200, and then we actually have access to power rather than attempting something to happen by force. So think about that. What would happen if we actually brought power to these various fields of endeavor, whether it was our work, whether it was our politics, God help us, whether it is, you know, advertising or education? What if we brought the power of knowing the truth into medicine or into the law or into international relations? it's really staggering to think about not only the reality that we have this ability, but that we could be using it. We could be using it personally. But more importantly, I think we could be using it as a society. If we really want to know the truth about something, we have to really get present with whatever it is we want to know. And we have to figure out how to do that exactly. Because to accurately discover the truth about something, you have to actually present your question in a certain form and under certain conditions. It's really simple, but it's not always particularly easy to do that. But that's what we're going to talk about when we come back from this next little musical interlude. We're going to talk about how to present information, how to present a question, and actually discover what the truth is and how to get accurate answers. I've worked with a lot of people through the years who do kinesiology or who use a pendulum in the same way, attempting to get answers, and because they don't frame what they want to know in a way that works, then they don't get accurate answers. And so that's what I'd really like to spend the second part of the show on, is really talking about how do you get accurate answers? Well, you do that by asking a question in an appropriate manner. So that's what we're really going to discuss when we come back. And I think what we're going to do here is, I think we're going to play Bob Dylan, "The Times They Are A-Changing," because I certainly hope that is true. Okay, enjoy.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. No telling who that it's naming. Was a loser, now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. From senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall, or he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to UR Radio, and our show tonight is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. I'm Louisa Dyer, and I hope you join us every Thursday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern as we explore the teachings of various enlightened ones living among us. If you want to know more about who I am or my perspective, you're welcome to visit my website at louisadyer.com. And during the second half of the show, feel free to submit any questions or comments through the Facebook page for Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio, and I'll do my best to respond. And if I can't manage the technology, then hopefully I'll learn about it before next time. My intention tonight is to have a good time and to share a lot of tools that will help us thrive instead of just survive. And tonight we're talking about David Hawkins and the very well-researched and documented truth that he has published in his book, Power Versus Force, and in that whole series, that all truth is knowable. And when we really get that, when we really get that all truth is knowable, you know, then the next question is, okay, so how do I do that? Well, learning kinesiology is the first step. And like I said in the first part of the show, there are a lot of ways you can learn how to do kinesiology. David Hawkins teaches that, actually, in the Power Versus Force book. Michelle Wright of Paralandra teaches that. If you Google behavioral kinesiology, you'll find thousands of references, some of which are just schools that teach precisely how to do that. It's a very simple thing. Sometimes it's not easy. But you can also learn to use, some people use a pendulum, which is what I do. And I use it in the place of kinesiology because for me it's just a whole lot faster. And when I'm doing flower essence testing or something like that, it's just a whole lot faster to use a pendulum. But to use a pendulum or to do regular kinesiology, you have to really know how to put questions, how to put forth questions if you want to get accurate answers. Because there's a whole lot of ways that you can ask questions and you might get an answer. You're going to get a muscle that either stays strong or weak, or you're going to get a yes or no response if you're using a pendulum. But whether it's accurate or not depends on who you are and where you are and how you're asking the question. First of all, one of the most important things to realize, especially with kinesiology, is it's much more effective if you make a statement rather than ask a question. So instead of saying, is this a good career move for me? It's much more effective if you make a statement, this is a good career move for me. And the muscle is going to stay strong if the answer is yes. The muscle is going to go weak if the answer is not yes. The thing to understand about kinesiology is it's not really a yes and no response. What you're dealing with is a field of consciousness that surrounds everything that is, everything that has ever been, has created an imprint in the field of consciousness. And that field of consciousness is registering everything. That's why in a lot of spiritual traditions you hear, you know, every hair on the head is counted. Nothing goes unnoticed by the universe. We're responsible absolutely for every thought, word, and deed, because it all exists forever. It exists in the field of consciousness. And so making a statement of what is, the field of consciousness simply stays strong, stays clear in terms of the muscle staying strong, if that's a true statement. If it's a statement that isn't true, the muscle simply goes weak, meaning it's no longer registering truth, and so the muscle goes weak, and that's a not true response. So when I'm doing this work, I'm always thinking that I'm either getting a yes or a not yes. I'm getting a true or a not true. I'm really not getting yes and no. But so anyway, that's one of the first things to know, that it's much more accurate and easier to get an accurate answer if you actually present your question in the form of a statement rather than form of a question. This is so, rather than is this so? I'm not quite sure why that is, but David Hawkins spends a good deal of time making that distinction, and in my own work, I've discovered that it's actually quite true. And so I pass that along. make a statement rather than ask a question with whatever it is that you're wanting to know. And then what the kinesiology is telling you is, yes, that's a true statement, or no, that is not a true statement. The other really important thing when you're trying to use kinesiology or a pendulum to find out the truth is to speak in terms of present tense, or you can speak in terms of what has existed in the past. You cannot get an accurate answer if you pose a question about the future. And there's a lot of reasons for that that we could spend days talking about. But the simplest way to explain that is to say the future does not exist. And so therefore, if you're asking a question about something that doesn't exist, you're already acting crazy. Because why are you focused on something that doesn't exist? What you really want to know is about what does exist. And so if you're wanting to ask a question about, we'll use the example I did before about, does this action serve my career? You can ask that question. That's present tense. Does this action, and you name whatever the action is, serve my career? And again, instead of putting that in the form of question, make it a statement. This action serves my career. That's a question about the present moment, and you can actually get an answer, an accurate answer to that. If you ask, will this, or, you know, will this serve my career, you're already in territory that David Hawkins actually calls insane. David says that to focus on what doesn't exist is insane. To focus on a potentiality, to focus on if this, if that, what might happen, to focus on a potentiality is to focus on what does not exist. And to focus on what does not exist is insane. That's pretty much what he says. So you cannot ask questions about the future because the future does not exist. You can, however, find out information about, like if I want to know, for example, if there's a particular action that will serve me in my job next week when I have to do something, I don't have to ask about next week when I have to do something. All I ask about is right now. Does it serve me? Or again, put that in the form of a statement rather than a question. It serves me to do this relative to my job. You put it in present tense because everything that exists and everything that has ever existed has left an imprint in the field of consciousness. And that's what is actually answering your question, is the field of consciousness. If the question is true, the muscle stays strong, or the pendulum indicates yes. If the question is not, the muscle goes weak, and it's a not true response. So those two things are really, really important, to make a statement rather than asking a question, and put it in present tense. You can ask about anything that exists right now or anything that has ever existed before. You cannot ask about the future because it does not exist. Well, you can ask about it, but you're not going to get any sort of accurate information about that. The other thing that is really seems to be quite difficult for a lot of people is the whole idea of this idea of should, or the idea of need. Because in the universe, should doesn't exist. In reality, in the oneness that we all are, in the divinity that the universe exists within, and each one of us not only exists within, but exists within us, there is no need and there is no should. Both of those are human constructs that come straight out of the ego. So if you're attempting to find out information and you have any form of those words, should or need, in what you're wanting to know, again, you are not going to get accurate answers. You might get answers, but I don't know what they're going to be answers to, because the question or the statement that you've presented to the field of consciousness doesn't even understand what you're saying, because should, You know, a lot of people want to ask a question, should I do this? Do I need to do this in order to have that? And there's a lot of different words we use that actually mean should or need. And so that's actually, in all the teaching that I've done in terms of teaching how to people how to do kinesiology or use a pendulum, that seems to be the biggest challenge for most people, is formulating a question. And most of us actually have to formulate a question first, and then we put it in the form of a statement, because that's just how we think. And so for most people, that's the toughest thing, is to figure out how to formulate a question that has no form of the concepts of should or need in the question, because they simply don't exist. And as Hawkins says, to focus on something that doesn't exist is just insanity. So there's no point in posing any questions about should, need. And so you have to figure out how to word that in a different way. And the other part of that is the word or the concept not. That's the other part of should and need, and that's the way it gets put into questions a lot of the times. That gets kind of confusing. Not, it doesn't really exist either. That's just a concept. And so you can't have a question that has any form of not in it, which is sometimes when people are trying to get away from should or need, they wind up putting, does this not serve me, for example, and that won't work. You just simply have to avoid not, need, or should in the formulation of any question. And the other, the biggest piece of where you have to be in yourself in order to really have kinesiology or work with a pendulum to actually work really well, this is the most important thing, is you have to be willing to know the truth. And believe me, a lot of the times, a lot of us aren't willing to know the truth. What we really want to know is we want our own opinions validated, or we want our own desires somehow given energy. And unless you're willing to know the truth, then you're never going to know the truth. I mean, that's just simple. And so one of the ways when I do any work for myself, and anytime if you're wanting to practice or use kinesiology or learn how to use a pendulum, that's the best place to actually start, is to say, I release all fear of knowing the truth. And if you say that and you notice that you actually aren't comfortable with that, if you notice that, I really don't want to know the truth. Oh gosh, I'm scared. That's a good thing to notice. You're being honest with yourself. And so until you're willing to know the truth about whatever it is you're questioning, then you might as well not be asking any questions, because it's simply not going to present itself to you, because why would it? What you can do if you're sort of, you know, stuck in a quandary with that, is you can say, I am willing to release all fear of knowing the truth. Because I tell you, the minute we become willing and state that willingness, the whole universe literally begins to conspire with us to make whatever it is we said so. Because when we state, I am willing, what we're actually doing is beginning to align our personal will with our spiritual will. And one of the things that's very clear in all of David Hawkins' works, as well as Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie's, and with Hawkins, he shows how it's true through quantum physics. So it's no longer some woo-woo, you know, subject. It's actually truth, verifiable through physics, that once we state, I am willing to, the whole universe begins conspiring with us to make that so, whatever it is we're willing to. So if you think you want to know the truth and you say, okay, I release all fear of knowing the truth, and you recognize, oops, actually, I'm a little bit afraid of knowing the truth, then just say, I'm willing. I am willing to release all fear of knowing the truth. And when you can actually release all fear of knowing the truth and you're clear that you want to know the truth, then you can get accurate answers, providing you do all these other things I've talked about first. The other side of that that's pretty much the same thing, only with different words, is if you're attached to the answer, if you really want the answer to your question to be a particular thing, or if you really want it to not be a particular thing, that's an attachment. And if you have an attachment to whatever the answer is, again, you're not going to get accurate answers because your ego is going to get in your way. Your subconscious belief system is going to get on in your way. So you have to figure out how to get clear in your own self, how to be willing to release your attachment. And a lot of that will clear itself when you say, I release all fear of knowing the truth, because that's really what attachments are, is their fear. Their fear that if this happens, then that'll happen, and I don't want that. Or if that happens, then, oh my goodness, that is never going to happen, and that has to happen. And so what attachments really are is fear. And if we release all fear of knowing the truth, then we release our attachments. And sometimes that's a really simple thing to do just by making that statement. And sometimes that actually takes some work. It takes some processing to do, however you, whether you meditate or you do wow processing or you talk with a therapist or you go read an inspirational book. Whatever it is that you do to help yourself get clear, you might have to do that around a particular issue so that you can get clear of that fear and those attachments. Because if you're attached to the outcome, it's impossible to actually get a clear, accurate answer. And so there are times when we can't get out of our own way. There are times when we simply cannot give up our attachments. And in those times, you really want to be working with another person. Because if you can't get out of your own way, there's no way that you can do either kinesiology or use a pendulum for yourself and actually get an accurate answer. And so that's when we call our friends and say, oops, would you test this for me, please? And believe me, when you don't do that, oh, it is too painful. The few times in my life where I have not been willing to know the truth and get somebody else to test for me because I couldn't get out of my own way, boy, do you pay for that. So it's really, really, really worth it to learn how to get out of your own way. And the other piece of that is that the question itself that you're asking, it must be in integrity, meaning that the question itself, what you're wanting to know, it can't come from greed. It can't come from fear or lust or, you know, the desire to dominate somebody else or deceive somebody else or any attempt to control somebody else. The question itself, where you are in asking the question, you have to be in integrity. And if you're not in integrity, well, then you're probably not going to get an accurate answer. And if you have to get someone else to test for you, one of the things that I like to do when I can't get out of my own way is I get somebody else to test for me. And if I still feel like I can't get out of my own way, or maybe they have attachments to the answer, then you can do double-blind studies where, you know, you don't even know what the other person is asking and you're just testing for whatever it is. And in Power versus Force, Hawkins does a lot of that double-blind sort of study to really prove with thousands and thousands of people that the same positive things make everyone be strong, get a yes response. The same negative things make everyone go weak and get a negative response. Because it's the field of consciousness that is registering truth or not truth. And so that's just about all the time that we have here this evening. It's amazing how fast that hour actually went. I had a really good time. I'm really glad for those who joined us, and I hope you had a good time as well. Next week, we're going to keep talking more about these favorite teachers of mine, and I'm sure we're going to have some more conversation about David Hawkins. And I want to end, actually, by reading a quote from him that's from the second book in that Power versus Force series. That book is called The Eye of the Eye, and it's from page 21. And this is the quote I want to leave you with to think about. Letting go of the old is facilitated by willingness, courage, and faith. Spiritual progress literally benefits all humanity in that it raises the general level of consciousness. Even one iota makes a difference. Another obstacle to spiritual growth is impatience. This can be overcome only by surrender. And so I leave you with that quote to let you know that every moment that you spend raising your own consciousness level, every moment you spend smiling, every moment you spend focused on love and joy and peace, not only are you raising your own level of consciousness, but you're doing a service for all humanity because you're raising the level for everyone, everywhere. And that's how we're actually going to create this new earth that Eckhart Tolle talks about so much. That's how we're going to become the enlightened beings that so many of us really want us to become. And so I'm going to leave you with that thought that every way that you serve your own spiritual growth, every time you raise yourself up into those higher vibrations of love and peace, you're serving the whole world. And so think about that. All truth is knowable, and you are serving the world when you focus on truth. And I'm going to leave you tonight with the same song that we started with, which is a tune from Here to Here, which is one of my favorite groups of all time. And the song is Time for a Change. And I play that song at the beginning and at the end because it really is time for a change. And I'm hoping that we're all going to work together to really make that a wonderful, beautiful experience for ourselves and for each other. And I hope all of you join me again next Thursday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern for Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. This is UR Radio, and I'm Louisa Dyer. I'm going to leave you with this tune, and then for the next hour, I'm going to play some really good music. So I hope you stick around and enjoy that. And you might even let yourself do some dancing and bring that body and soul into very good rhythm. Enjoy.
Where my heroes at? Where my soldiers at? Where my presidents and citizens and all that jazz? Where my artists at? Where my dreamers at? Where my activists and hippie chicks and I know that we can do it, we can change the world. I know that we can be it, we can be the change we like to see. My scientists and pharmacists, my dear.